Welcome to part two of our discussion with Brian Dempster and Lyle G about resourcing strategy from the hiring management perspective.
But let me ask you this. I want to pivot. Artificial intelligence, one-way interviewing. How do job seekers navigate this whole virtual garbage of one-way interviewing? I hate it, by the way. I'm going on record to say that I hate it. How do they do that to get to the next level so they can talk to Lyle or Brian to have that critical discussion that's important to be able to assess the honest to God fit? Any thoughts?
So it's interesting you say that, because the point I was just going to follow on from last thing, it's sort of parallel to that. And what I was going to say was, don't assume. And it was in response to something Lyle said, actually, where he was saying, you know, be prepared if you're less experienced as a candidate, be prepared to tell your story, be prepared to, you know, to not just trot out your credentials, but actually be able to tell your story. And don't assume that the interviewer is a great interviewer. Right?
And that they know what they're talking
about.
Such
a good point.
Yeah, right. They may not know what they're talking about. They could be a basic sourcer. They may not have any idea as to what the industry is.
Yeah, or they're in that level where they, you know, it's process driven again. So how many people have been to an interview where someone's had a sheet of paper and they go, tell me what your strengths are, tell me what your weaknesses are? It means nothing, right? This is like, oh, I know what these, you know, you could actually prep for that interview because, you know what the questions are coming, right? And what the ideal answers are, if you like. So don't assume, and AI is the same, right? AI is, it's a process driven thing. So bring what you have to do, I think, as a candidate, certainly what would impress me, is you have to bring yourself to the interview. You have to show me what is different about you compared to everybody else. Because most CVs kind of say, yes, I've done a number of years as a CRA. And I'm talking about operations Direct specifically now, but they'll say, you know, I've done a number of years as a CRA. I've managed a program at phase two. I've, had experience of the big EDC systems and the big pharmacovigilance management systems and blah, blah, blah. And you kind of look at these and you go, well, how do I distinguish between these two people? That's what an interview is for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and Angela, I know that this is something that CRA Resources does and is really good in terms of like prepping the CV so that they stand out, so that they tell a story. And you're big on this. And I absolutely adore this about CRA Resources, is the fact that you talk about, tell your story. Don't just list your attributes, right? So that's you've done that and you've got yourself the interview. This is great. The point of the interview now is to sit in front of someone like Lyle or myself and say, okay, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you not just what I can do, but how I go about doing it. Because that's going to be important to us, is to, well, are you someone who's going to gel with the other people I've already got on the team? Because what I don't want to do is put a superstar in on paper who's going to immediately reduce everybody else's work rate by 20% because they don't want to come into the office because you're obnoxious or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah,
they're the smartest person in the room, and then everybody's all ticked off all the time, right?
Right.
Right. So that never happens. That only happens all the time.
All the time. So don't approach AI as kind of having to try and match the process. Actually take maybe a step back and say, actually what I need to do is work out how I can navigate around this process driven system to make myself stand out against the other candidates.
And I would say that loved what Brian said. Love that. I think that one thing that struck me was the checklist, the idea of this checklist. And that is essentially AI is just a big checklist keeper, right? And it drives people into this checklist kind of mentality, because that is the, especially at the kind of the more lower levels. And so you have to play that game, because, you know, a lot of recruiting firms are going to use these one directional interviews, and I hate them. I absolutely despise them.
We haven't adopted them.
Right. It flattens everything to a checklist, you know, as Brian said, right? Or to kind of interpret, it flattens everything to a checklist. And that is not, I don't need a checklist. I don't want a CV, right? You got to have a certain set of technical skills, but I want the person, I want the skill set, I want the temperament, I want these kind of, you know, I'm a big fan of the soft skills. So I would say, I don't know where this switches at what level. I know that kind of at entry level, there's really no getting away from these vast AI driven filtering mechanisms, but I'm a huge fan. I mean, I'm a huge extrovert, so this is, you know, this is Lyle's secret skill, whatever. If
superpower, if,
I guess super weakness, whatever. Who can say? But I'm a huge fan still of networking. I think networking is a great way because one way you cut through a lot of that noise is right. Oh, I know Brian. Yeah, he worked with so-and-so who I trust, right? And they loved working with him because X, Y, and Z. I am learning about him as an individual and work styles and skill set and temperament, right? Kind of for free, in a sense, right? I don't have to bring him in for an interview. Now I'm going to bring him in and confirm those things because, you know, trust but verify. But I think that have a way to rise above a lot of that noise is get your name out there, right? Be a person that's known. And how do you do that? You got to network. You got to build that trust. You got to, you know... I think as the machines take over more and more, I think that networking is going to become even more important, right? Because that's a differentiator, you know? And again, not everyone's good at it. Not everyone likes doing it. And so I know it's for some job seekers. You're like, seriously, Lyle, just network. That's, you know, that's terrible advice. It's not so easy to do that. And you're right. It's not, but it is a way, I think, to differentiate, especially as we get, you know, we're an employer driven market right now. Like it's a buyer's market, frankly. For talent, right? It's a buyer's market. That's just the nature of the beast. So in a buyer's market, how do you differentiate, right? How do you differentiate? If there is a way through people that I know, people that I trust, people that my sphere trusts, and they can vouch for a person, that's a big up. Now, is that the only characteristic? Of course not, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm super chatty and I network, and why don't I get jobs? Because you're not, you know, you don't have the technical skills to back it up. But one thing that I was taught very early on is your work process, your work history is your reputation. It is your next job, right? Mm-hmm. So one way that you can people that are early on, they're like, well, I can't build a network. How am I supposed to build myself up? Do good work. Be a person that is, right? I mean, it's not hard. It's not complicated. It really, I don't, Brian, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm talking out of you my, you know what, but your job history is your reputation, right? So one way to build that is do good work, even if it's not a great job or it's not a position that you love. We all started out. Every one of us had entry-level jobs.
In crappy jobs.
Right? I mean, it's this thing where, you know, and I don't know. Again, maybe this is generational. But I remember some of my earliest jobs, they sucked, right? But the point was you're going through the process. You're building that for those foundational skills. You're building the critical thinking. You're putting in time because you're interested in this industry, and that will pay off in the future.
This is such an important point. I think that, and it goes back to that. You know, there's a threshold at which you're applying for these positions. You have to meet that threshold. You have to have had a certain, you know, if you're a CRA and you're working on a particularly complex study. The threshold for getting through the door is a certain number of years of monitoring in that indication at that level, because you're not going to throw somebody who's just fresh out of accreditation into, you know, a phase 1B oncology study because they've you know, you're just asking them to fail.
It's a nightmare.
Right? That's not fair to them. Right. Yeah. But absolutely. So you're already setting that threshold. So then you're saying, okay, so everybody comes through the door just as I says has meets this threshold. What distinguishes them from me? What differentiates them from me? What that's the whole purpose of an interview. And you're right, networking is absolutely critical because that builds your credibility. If somebody says, oh, I worked on this project with, oh, I know that person. Oh yeah, how did you find them? Well, I found them great. They were, you know, and be honest, by the way. You know,
God, don't please say, do. Yes.
Always be honest.
Please
do. Yeah. That's another important point. You know, if you worked for somebody and they weren't good, don't go into an interview and say, oh yeah, they sucked, right? Well, be honest and say, you know, what you can do is kind of say, well, I had some challenges, you know, not with that individual, but let me tell you about the challenges I had in that role. If I've worked with that person and I know that they're a challenging person and somebody's telling a challenging person, what you're telling me is this person is honest, right? A person in front of me is now being honest with me because they're not just saying, oh yeah, you know them as well, they're great. Because if they say that and I don't think they're great, right. I'm going to say, well, hang on a minute, why did you think they were great?
Kind of calls into question the rest of their,
So be honest, but you're absolutely right. You know, your credibility in networking is doing a good job, because then other people will say, I worked with that person, they did a good job. And networking is always been important. It's always been important, but it is increasingly important in this market. because
I agree.
It is a buyer's market, and it is harder and harder to, because of the systems that HR professionals and others set up, it is harder and harder to make distinction for people earlier on in the process. So, being able to, you know, and your CV is important as well. I can tell you that there was a period in my career about a decade ago where every time I went for a job, there was one particular employer and one particular group within that employer that everybody went to in an interview when I moved up. They go, oh, wow, you worked for this company. And wow, you worked on this project. I've heard of that. You know, that was a big deal. So if you can get yourself into something like that as well, that's important as well. You know, build your CV. Take roles that you are going to enhance your CV later in your career as well.
I agree. And work don't for companies. Oh, go ahead, Becky.
Oh, just real quick. Don't wait to network until you need a job. Network where you're at during your current position. Exactly what you're saying all the time. Yeah, sorry, Angela. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's important. I want to. There's a couple of things that you mentioned there, Brian, that I just think are so key. First of all, work for companies that are reputable. And we do see that. And I see that now in this employer-driven market where individuals have worked for companies that maybe didn't have a great reputation and they are not winning interviews. And it's really unfortunate because that's not necessarily an indication that they were a poor performer, but they are now hooked. They've got that tether to those very non-reputable companies, and it's really unfortunate. So pick. Be picky. Be choosy.
Yeah,
don't
be
just
picky.
Accept any job. Well, but I think the other thing – go ahead.
Sorry, Jill. Or if you can't afford to be picky, because this is an employer-driven market, right? Make sure that you understand that's going to be a question and have a good answer and explain why and what and how and
It's here's really how I influenced it for the good. Yeah,
right.
I was the change maker there.
Here's what I did.
I knew that it was a reputation issue, and this is how I dealt with it. That's a really good point, Galag, because you're right. Yeah. I mean, you might have to settle a little bit, but I think that is the other point: is that when you couple an employer-driven market with the economy that we're dealing with. I said this in my webinar this week, and I want to say it again. Companies are not hiring people with potential today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about your potential.
That's right.
They care about what you can prove you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And networking is a big piece of that because it shows proof. Get your recommendations on your LinkedIn. Get really good references that can have discussions about you. Write your resume to where you show the proof, the tangibles. I did this work on your resume, in your LinkedIn profile. Tell your story because people aren't going to hire you because they see the tasks and there's potential there. They're going to hire you because there's proof. And networking is a critical component of that piece.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. It really is. It's networking is just as Becky said, right? Or to paraphrase Becky, it's the first part of the interview.
Yep.
But also, I don't think it's healthy to necessarily, in your mind, approach it like that as well. Don't network with people thinking, "Oh, this might be useful for me at some point in the future."
Oh,
that's right.
Be
it's
yourself.
So disingenuous, right?
Right. Exactly.
And
Brian, I'm gonna make sure I befriend this person because they might have a job for me at some point. No, Be genuine, you know, network because you want to share your experience with people in the industry. That's really powerful. So networking is, you know, when you go to conferences, network by people by finding out what they're doing and where it connects with you and have an interesting conversation and see where that leads. Don't networking with a goal in mind never works, honestly. Networking for the sake of networking can have beneficial results.
You have to care.
It's so transparent. It's so transparent, right? As a person who networks and has been networked with, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys, but I'm telling you, it's like, so Lyle, I hear you're a director of so-and-so. Do you have any jobs coming up? I'm like, seriously, dude? Keep it,
Lyle,
keep it
I know that you only like me because
keep it
you
your
like
pants.
Being on the podcast, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's true. That is incredibly transparent, but at least I've been honest about that from the jump. I only love it because of the podcast. No,
we'll take
and
it.
I think
Brian, we'll take it.
I think to Brian's point, right, and to you guys and Angel's point as well, it's incredibly transparent when that happens. So be authentic. And that's not like, you don't have to be a crazy person. I don't have to tell everyone I meet that I race cars, even though it's the coolest thing ever. But it's, did you like that? The subtle. But I think that
slid that in there.
It's we're meeting people not as titles, not as entities, but as humans, right? As human beings. And so you don't have to be friendly with everyone in the industry. I'm certainly not. But I think that being a genuine person and being that kind of, you know, and bringing that energy, bringing that interest, because every single person, I believe, every single person has a fascinating story if we ask the questions. Every single human being has a fascinating story if you ask the questions and have genuine interest in those people. And to me, the colleagues that I work with, the people that have networked me, right, successfully, are ones that are have an interest, have an, you know, have a curiosity, and you just you get a group of good people in your network, right?
And so how do you get it?
Yeah, it's I mean it's like building a friendship, it's like dating, it's like any of these things, right? Any of these kind of social interactions or social connections. It's really hard to do it with duplicitous intent or you know, ill intent. It's pretty obvious. Us human beings as social creatures from the beginning of time, right? We kind of have built-in bullshit detectors. So, you know, so it's kind of easy.
Yeah,
some better than others. I have a terrible one, by the way. So please lie to me and tell me I'm
my
tell, lie to me and tell
BS
me I'm pretty. That's
ever.
All I need.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
Right. Just tell me I'm pretty. But but I think, you know, it's really important if you're going to network, do it in a genuine fashion. And I know for some people it's really hard. So it's easy. I have to remember I'm way out on one end of that scale, right? The whole extroversion scale. Like this comes very naturally for me. So I think a way for people, for job seekers to who find it intimidating or who find it off-putting to have these kind of like, you know, personal connections, ask questions. Yeah. People love talking about themselves. Some of us too much, but it's that's, you know, but ask questions because to get, you know, to Brian's point, that's a genuine human interaction, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you're like a really kind of shy person or reserved or whatever, to be in this industry, I believe you have to have a fair amount of intellectual curiosity, really, to do what we do, right? At any kind of successful level. Engage that.
Yeah.
Be intellectually curious about the other human next to you, right? What are they like? What do they do?
You're absolutely right. Do that with, you know, authenticity. And also, don't limit your network as well. This is something that, like, was a real epiphany for me. And we talked about it on another podcast, you know, bumping into someone who was much loftier in terms of the organizational structure and kind of just bumping into him in a parking lot and saying, oh, you know, can I pick your brains? That was transformational for my career. That interaction and created a spiraling network or a spidering network from there that otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have been exposed to. So if you're, you know, relatively junior in your career and you think, oh, my network has to consist of other junior people in my career, and we're all going to grow up, you know, in the career in this kind of linear fashion, dispel that from your mind right now. That's not how networks work. They're called networks. They're not called lines, right? So if you see someone at a conference, if you're at a trade show, wherever you are, and you see someone who's, it's really, really not a problem for you to go over to them and introduce yourself and say, and to Lyle's point, mind their experience. Say to them, hey, you don't have to say, oh, really, really be disingenuous, you know, you and say, you know, I really admire you, whatever. That well, you can say that if it's true.
But, if it's true.
But, you know, you can simply go over and go, you know, I think, you know, your position is where I want to be, if that's true. You know, you say, look, I know I'm 20 years away from where you are, but I'd really be interested to know how you spent the last 20 years getting there, because there may be information in there that will be relevant to me now. And don't limit yourself in terms of network. People, to Lyle's point, right? People love to talk about themselves. I love to share my experience because it was a lot of it was hard earned.
Yes.
I want to be able to go, well, let me tell you about this time that this happened, you know, because I get an enjoyment out of sharing those experiences with people who have yet to have them, because I kind of go, I'm not telling you your experience is going to be exactly the same, but there are cyclical patterns to these things. There are history does repeat itself, and I may be able to, just like that person did for me, and others since, I may be able to give you at least some signposts as to where some of the challenges are going down the road. So I can't stop you from having them, and you still have to go and get that experience for yourself, but at least you'll recognize it more, you know, readily when it's coming, because you've had that conversation with me. I love to share that experience. I would suspect Lyle does. I would suspect lots of other people who, you know, are at this end of our careers, if you like. They love to share that experience. So mine it, you know, if you're at the at the other end of your career right now, do not be afraid, because it can be intimidating. I fully appreciate that. But kind of push through that barrier and be prepared to ask questions of people and see what you can get. And those networking opportunities are really, really, really invaluable, because they're, by the way, they're the people who have the jobs.
That's right.
Well, yeah. And I think that people really want to help other people. I think that people genuinely want to help. And I think a lot of times people think that networking is a brand new outreach, and that's not necessarily the case. Are you telling the people you're already connected to on LinkedIn that you're out of work and you're looking for a job? And if you've got, you know, and I'm not talking about the broadcast, everybody does, but, you know, I'm talking about reaching out to Lyle. Hey, Lyle, I just got laid off. If you hear of anything, let me know. You know, Lyle could look at my profile and say, hey, you know what, Angela, you don't talk about this project that you did. That's fabulous. You need to update your LinkedIn profile. And now Lyle knows, and he's given me advice, and now we're, and now I'm not alone anymore, right? Because a job search is very siloed, and it's very isolating. And I think that people just raise your hand and ask for help, because people want to help you.
I want to clip your two's conversation. I think that's so incredibly important for people to hear some very specific strategies involved, you know. And that's great. And I think that someone who's going to ask me for my experience and my, like, hey, you know, to Brian's point, I'll tell you what I did wrong. know, I'll tell you the landmines I stepped on. You're still going to step on your own landmines, but Brian, that was Brian and Angela both. That was chef's kiss. Super good.
I feel like this whole conversation
that's
is
a good
just
end.
Golden nuggets left and right. So
well,
I'm
was,
so
that was perfect.
Excited for our
really
audience
appreciate
to hear
you guys
this.
Being here. And before, because Becky does have this look on her face. So
so sorry. I hate this part.
But I want to thank you guys, because me saying it as a recruiter and coach is different than you guys saying it as hiring entities. And so I'm hoping job seekers out there really get a lot out of this. So thank you for exploring this with us today.
Thank you so much, Brian and Lyle and Angela, for joining us today. Thanks to everybody out there listening. At CRA Resources, we understand you have many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAResources.com for more information about our firm.